Welcome to A Play on Nerds.
I'm Steve.
And I'm Jarman.
Between us, we have more than 30 years of experience in the nerd arts.
Each week, we endeavor to bring the world of nerddom to all of you.
So push up your glasses and listen up, Internet.
This is A Play on Nerds.
Hello and welcome to episode 3 of A Play on Nerds.
Welcome back for those who are joining us again, all 7 of you.
Absolutely. I'm sure there's millions of you by
now. How long does this music go on?
As long as we want it to go.
Ooh!
Isn't that fancy?
It's always a party here at A Play on Nerds.
There it goes.
Oh,
far and away.
Fade out slowly. Just
like that movie with Brad Pitt.
All right. Well, welcome back, everyone. Some of you have listened. We have some followers now and some people listening, I hope.
At least 30 of you have liked our Facebook page.
Oh, did that happen?
I don't know. I think we must be amusing to some people. Or my mom made 30 accounts.
Yeah. the second's more likely. I'll give it to you.
Absolutely. But you can like us on Facebook or you can follow us on Twitter at A Play on Nerds. Or
we have playonnerds.com. All the nerd outlets.
Exactly. Even open. Google Plus.
Yeah. I don't even use Google Plus, so
I don't know. We're so going to use that so much.
But if you're there, enjoy it because I'll never see it.
Absolutely. So what have you been up to this week, Steven?
I mean, this week was just a work week, really. I worked openings all week, which means I'm out the door at 4:15. Mm. No, out the door at 4:45. I'm up at 4:15.
You should mention AM, not PM.
AM, yes. No, I don't work the overnight shift or anything, but I work very, very early. And really, it's really sad to say, but that was really my week. When I work early, it just kills the rest of my day.
That makes
sense. Because I'm too tired to do anything.
It makes a lot of sense. That's been your whole week. But at least you had a chance to watch some movies for our coming up Copycat Cinema, which we'll talk about later.
I did get to enjoy them. That's true.
Fantastic.
Here's something that I got to see this week.
Mm-hmm.
So I probably saw this week my most interesting person on the subway.
Oh, boy. That's
not
saying
like
a lot.
Not the craziest, not, you know, not the ugliest or the most deformed, the most interesting. And I'll preface this with a short bit for people that haven't really been or haven't spent a lot of time in New York. There are service animals throughout the U.S., the majority of them for people that are, you know, blind or visually impaired, seeing eye dogs, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
In New York, there are all sorts of service animals. Not just dogs. I've seen every service animal you can imagine.
Service Wolverine?
I've seen a goat.
A goat?
Yep.
How is that a service animal? Is it going to eat
clothing
for you?
So here's the thing. There are physical service animals for like people that are, you know, that are blind or people that have seizures and the dog has to like step on their foot to trigger a thing, you know, in their head, that sort of thing.
Interesting.
But then there are emotional support animals, which are there because you have you've basically said that you have a mental disorder and you need this animal to feel safe and comfortable.
I've heard that with dogs, like they do post-traumatic stress. They'll have
a
service
exactly.
animal just for emotional purposes. But why would you want a goat? It smells and it eats everything.
Right. So that's the thing. In New York, it can be like any friggin' animal as long as you can state and prove that you have some sort of emotional disorder that needs addressing and you have to have a service animal. So I've seen a goat. There's a guy who used to come into Fifth Avenue with a parrot. A service animal, and he had to wear a patch on his arm since the parrot was on his shoulder.
So he's a service animal for his pirate. Okay, that makes sense.
Yep, precisely. So the other day, I'm on the subway. So now this leads to this most interesting person I've seen at a New York subway. Doors open up. I've got a seat. And on steps this big, fluffy, it's a husky or malamute. It's big, fluffy dog. White and brown hair. Just huge, walks in, takes up like the whole basically center of the train. And I realized that it has a service animal jacket on it, but it's one of the blue ones, which is, as far as I understand, in New York, the emotional service animal.
Yeah. Geez.
So then I look up and I look what this dog is attached to.
What the dog is attached to.
So this big guy, 6'3", 6'4", wearing a cowboy hat and sunglasses.
Mm-hmm.
On under is a jean jacket with fur lining on the cuffs and on the lapel that matches the dog's fur.
Oh, Jesus.
And the rest is just decked out and blend. He looks like a weird denim pimp of some sort with fur. And he's got big rings on, and then this big ass dog that's huge and fluffy with the support animal. And I thought to myself, man, what emotional disability makes you that badass?
Yeah, my emotional disability makes me ostentatious and overconfident. Yeah, I want that.
When he doesn't have that dog, he can't do anything. But with it, he is a super pimp.
I don't necessarily agree with that law that any animal could be a service animal.
You
can have a disorder and have a pet. That's fine. But don't pretend it's a service animal. Like, there's a big difference, I feel like.
Can then take that animal anywhere.
That's true.
Like, that's the thing.
Yeah.
Like, if they didn't have that thing, there's no way that parrot was coming into Fifth Avenue.
Well, listeners, if you know more about service animals than we do, email us at serviceanimals@aplayonnerds.com.
Mm-hmm.
We want to hear from you.
If you are a service animal, find a computer and type in anything your awful paws can type in at aplayonnerds.com.
Or type in, dear God, help me. Someone thinks I'm a service animal if you're a human being and someone thinks you're a service animal.
Which, in that case, I think we're extra interested in your insight.
Absolutely. You know what I want? I want a service dolphin.
Service dolphin. Yes. That might be limiting as far as locations you could take it.
That's true.
Oh, that was terrible.
Yes, it was. All the setup just for that one sound effect.
Bam. Well, I think it was worth it.
It's just worth it. So I guess my
week. What'd you do this week? Yeah,
I did not run into any interesting characters like that, but I did get a special surprise. I do voiceover acting as my part-time job, and I got a request to do a voiceover for a video game where I got to say, double kill, triple kill, quadra kill. It was fantastic. It's like one of my childhood dreams come true.
So can you tell us what this game is yet, or is it still?
I think I'm not supposed to until it comes out. So,
okay.
But it's very similar to League of Legends, like we talked about in our first episode.
Okay.
But yeah, kind of like a tower defense game.
Well, and stay posted, listeners, because eventually he'll be able to tell us what it is.
And you'll be able to play it and hear my voice every day.
Yep. Like did they have you record anything that you didn't understand? Like something from the game that didn't make sense out of reference?
Luckily not, because most of it was a direct copy of what I've always hear in League of Legends.
Okay.
Like, your inhibitor has been destroyed. Your tower has been destroyed. Like, all that crap over and over again. So anyone who plays League of Legends hears that way too much, and they know exactly what I'm talking about. But anyways, it was fun.
So, okay. Well, good. Congratulations. That's a big thing. That's a big nerd thing, too, for that matter.
And for all you nerds out there who watch wrestling, I do not. I don't know much about wrestling, except for when Steve and I played wrestling video games when we were kids.
Those were some of the best video games.
They were good
WCW
games.
WCW versus NWO for N64.
Mm-hmm.
Holla.
Classics. So this weekend I'm going to a WWE WrestleMania party. And,
okay.
But the only reason I'm excited about going, though, not the only reason, friends I haven't seen in a long time, excited about that, but also they're having a projector screen. They're going to play the wrestling video games after it's done. So I'm like, yes, childhood memories coming back.
Okay.
I'll see if they have the one we played.
So who is this person, and why do they love wrestling so much that they're throwing a party of some sort?
Well, no, it's an old friend of ours, Whitney, from high school.
Oh, okay.
Her and her boyfriend are throwing that party. Or actually her fiance now. Look at that.
Oh, wow.
But
people getting married.
Everyone's married now and having children. God.
On that note, I'm married. So.
But no, it's funny. I met my girlfriend's brother-in-law. He's this very like serious, but really kind of sarcastic, really smart guy. He works for, you know, a blog on the internet. He's like a writer. And all of a sudden I find out that he loves wrestling. I'm like, that is totally out of character for him. But it's just like, he's totally into it. I mean, it's like, you would suspect, because you go to WrestleMania, like they had it in Atlanta a few times. I lived there, and just people, rednecks from across the entire state coming in. I don't mean to offend anyone, but I'm going to.
Yeah, but go for it. Nah.
But I'm wrong. It's not just rednecks. It's not just little kids, because I mean, a lot of little kids liked it, but people of all different types of cultures and identities like wrestling, apparently. So I'm shocked.
Okay. I mean, I used to be into wrestling back in the day.
Yeah? Who was your favorite?
I was into WCW, not the WWE or WWF, whatever it is now.
I think they merged the WWE or something. I don't know.
Kinda. WCW went under essentially, and I think that WWE picked out who they wanted, and everyone else got the boot.
Interesting.
But no, I used to watch that pretty heavily back in the day. Now my favorite wrestler had to be Goldberg.
Really? Why?
Because he's like a 6'4" huge Jewish dude who goes by his last name. I mean, hey, let's start with that. And he was like undefeated champion, undefeated for like 200 matches. And he was just my favorite drama.
Gotcha.
Like he was the good guy to the end. He never turned. Like you wanted him to, he was a character you invested in. Let me put it that way.
I remember him being really popular at the time.
If you want to tell us who your favorite wrestlers are, listeners, email wrestlers@playonnerds.com.
Absolutely. We want to hear from you.
Tell me your favorite wrestler. Let's hear it, internet.
And
let's get ready to rumble!
Damn right.
I think it's boxing, but whatever.
It doesn't matter. They're all sports that we don't play.
exactly. So all right. We're moving on to a new segment where we talk about a little piece of nerdy news that we're interested in this week. And I have one as well, but if you want to go ahead and start us off, Steve.
Yeah, I'll go ahead. So mine, I decided to go with science. Mm-hmm. And so some exciting news. We have officially found water on a moon of Saturn. Liquid water, too, for that matter, which is pretty rare out there as far as we've seen.
I hadn't heard of this.
Yeah. On the small moon Enceladus. I'm not sure if I'm even saying this right. Enceladus.
Doesn't that mean plural salads in Spanish?
I hope so.
It's yes, like, but on the planet salads.
That would be great if that was the truth.
It's like you have the Ewoks on Endor, and then you have this moon, which is, we're salad people.
Enceladus.
Enceladus.
So, the American spacecraft spotted water being vented.
Wow.
So we thought there was ice there, and then we saw water being vented, and they've basically figured out that due to the density of the moon, there's actually currents that are keeping the water moving enough that there's enough heat that it's staying in liquid form.
Wow.
And so that's really cool to find something that relatively close to Earth that actually has feasible water we could get at if we needed it.
And where there's water, sometimes there's biology and life.
That's true. If there's enough heat to keep that water going, there are plenty of animals that live up in our Arctic Circle at zero, you know, freezing temperatures all the time.
That's true.
It could happen.
Didn't they just discover like a possible new planetoid out past Pluto as well?
Oh, they've discovered, I think, 4 or 5 basically minor planets
that is in our solar system, though.
Yeah.
Oh.
They have found, that's the reason that Pluto was downgraded. Is that they found all these other minor planets that we weren't adding to the list, and everyone said, well, Pluto's the same size and smaller than some of these new ones.
Yeah.
So why are we recognizing it?
And so interesting is that because of the orbit of this small planetoid they found, it implies there's a giant planet right past it, keeping it in that particular orbit. So there's some giant dark planet that's right outside, right in the edge of our solar system. That's another planet that's bigger than like, or as big as like Saturn or Jupiter or something like that. So that'll be interesting.
That'd be pretty badass. All right, that's cool. Your piece of nerd news.
my nerd news, I think, might be a little bit dated as far, but it's an ongoing piece of nerd news that I was found very intriguing, which is something not scientific. But there's rumors going around, which I don't know if it's just started by the studios, but that they might replace Indiana Jones, well, not Indiana Jones, Harrison Ford with Bradley Cooper for Indiana Jones. Which I actually was like surprised myself because I love Indiana Jones to death, except for the fourth one, of course. But I think he'd be a good replacement. And why I think it's good is because originally George Lucas and Steven Spielberg said they wanted Indiana Jones to be the American James Bond. It's basically like he'd be going on for years and years and years and you'd replace the actor over time. And so it's not a bad idea. It's interesting. And he kind of resembles the personality and appearance of a young Harrison Ford, I think.
I mean, you know who came to mind as soon as you brought this up to me for Indiana Jones? Carl Urban.
Carl Urban? Yeah, I can kind of see that. Except he's not American.
I'm just imagining with the hat. It doesn't matter.
Well, British, that's the idea. Is, you know, people...
Most of our best actors aren't from here, so
don't worry about that. I agree with that. And I like Carl Urban. And he's on that new show, Almost Human, which is actually really funny. If you guys watch that, it's like a lighthearted crime drama, but set in the future with robots. And it's awesome. So it's worth watching.
That sounds like the weirdest mixed bag of shit ever.
But it's great because Carl Urban's like this hard ass. And then the robot that goes with him is like the old style robots that still had emotion that they got rid of a while ago. And he's like always trying to give him a hard time and making fun of him and like lightening him up a bit. And it's just really funny interplay between the two of them. So it's worth watching. But yeah, so speculate if everyone wants to talk about that. What you think of Bradley Cooper, you know, just tell us on Facebook.
Or Enceladus.
Or Planet Enceladus. Hey, man, I'm from Planet Enceladus.
If you want to comment on that, you can email twosalads@aplayonnerds.com.
That's right. All right, so that's a lot of news.
We've educated you people a little bit. We feel better. Like we've fulfilled our obligation.
There you go.
Now on to nonsense that will rot your brain.
Of course. We still need a great stinger for Copycat Cinema, which is coming up right now.
Yeah. If you want to submit a song or a jingle for Copycat Cinema,
please do.
Email jingles@aplayonnerds.com. We'd love to hear your stuff.
Yeah, we could use one. And we'll credit you everywhere.
Yep. Facebook, the twits.
The twits. The Google pluses.
Google more.
We're going to send a signal to Planet Enceladus.
Enceladus.
Just for you.
All right. So let's get started with Copycat Cinema.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. So now everyone's favorite, and by that we mean our favorite, Copycat Cinema, were two movies that were released at near the same time with near the same theme were set to steal each other's thunder and mess each other up. And I thought about, you know, the way to compare this is in high school, there was always Halloween where someone threw one party on one day and then like a week later, someone announced they were going to have the party on that next day.
Mm-hmm.
And they invited all the same people and you had to choose one because you could only party one night because it was high school. That's what these movies
are. That was our high school.
They're that asshole who's planned that second party.
I actually thought that. I'm like, because these are two movies. Obviously based off Snow White.
Oh, so the movies are.
Oh, yes.
Mirror, Mirror.
Mirror, Mirror.
And Snow White and the Huntsman.
And I'm thinking to myself, one of these had to come first, at least on paper. Like, some studio is like, we're going to make a Snow White movie. Mm-hmm. And then the other studio must have gotten wind of that. Or maybe they said, oh, we want to make a Snow White movie. And they said, oh, Warner Brothers is already making that. Shit. Well, we'll make a better one or something. Like, yeah. What was their thought process? Because it's the same production schedule. It's ridiculous.
It's like, well, ours will have real midgets.
Hey, little people, not midgets.
Whatever.
In case any little people out there listening to our podcast.
They can't reach computers. They're short. So
that's horrible. You're just as bad as the handsome prince in Mirror, Mirror.
Damn right.
He was so offensive.
So of course, these are two movies based off the same basic story. So there were a lot of similarities. Both are Snow White movies. Both have unrequited love interests.
Mm-hmm.
The dwarf in Snow White and the Huntsman, the redhead dwarf, and... William in Snow White and the Huntsman, the dwarf in Mirror, Mirror.
That's right, because the Prince Charming does not get the queen or the princess in Snow White and the Huntsman.
Yeah, not really. They kind of hook up. It's a weird thing, but yeah.
Yeah.
Both have a dwarf in them with the hots for Snow White.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Both that movies fine... have Snow White in them.
Yeah. Legit.
Man.
So in copycat cinema, we argue for one side or the other. This week, I'm going to be arguing in favor of Snow White and the Huntsman, that it is the superior movie. And Jarman will be fighting on behalf of Mirror Mirror.
Absolutely. It's totally what I believe.
Mm-hmm. So Jarman, why don't you go ahead and let's hear your first point for why Mirror Mirror is obviously the superior film.
Oh, yeah. Normally we would give a synopsis of each film, but I think most of you know the story.
Yeah, it's Snow White.
But it's a little different from like the Disney Snow White because it goes off the Grimm's fairy tale version, which is basically the rundown is... there's a king and a queen. They're both wonderful, nice people. And the mother dies in some fashion. They change that from movie to movie. Not before they have Snow White, the beautiful little child. And, eventually the father meets the queen and is tricked by her into marrying her. And he is eventually killed in some fashion by her or gotten rid of in some way. And so, Snow White is left to be raised by this evil queen. The kingdom goes to shit. Everything, no one has any food. Everyone's unhappy under the queen, but she doesn't care. She just wants to be beautiful and powerful. And in the end, in some fashion, Snow White is overthrows the queen. So that's the general narrative of
that's pretty both of these movies. There's dwarves in there somewhere.
So in somewhere, there's going to be dwarves thrown in that somehow help Snow White along
somewhere
the way.
In there.
That's right. I forgot the prince.
You know. So oops. It happens, but you know, if you don't know Snow White by now, come on.
All right. So for my first point of argument of why Mirror Mirror is clearly the superior film is that it doesn't take itself too seriously, because I had heard that this movie Mirror Mirror was going to be cheesy and actually bad. Let's just be upfront here. But then I started watching it from the beginning. I was like, well, it doesn't take itself that seriously. It doesn't think of itself as an awesome movie. It thinks of itself as a funny movie and making some pop culture references and that kind of thing. So
okay.
I appreciated that. I was like, okay, good. You're not taking yourself too seriously. I like that.
Yeah, I mean, it certainly was, I'd say, the more stylized.
Yeah.
Of the two
Not
films.
Your typical blockbuster movie or something or gritty film. It was just like kind of silly.
Right. Okay. I'll give you that one.
There you go.
So I think that Snow White and the Huntsman was better because overall it had the better visuals, the better visual effects, better CGI, cooler costumes. Really what I felt about the visuals for Mirror Mirror, they were like a Terry Gilliam film, but sad.
Terry Gilliam?
Gilliam, whatever.
Oh, doesn't he do sad movie? Isn't he the one who did Brazil?
Yeah, but he just didn't. But by sad, I mean like just a sadder version.
Oh.
Like just not as good in any. Like it felt like they were trying to copy that style and just didn't hit it. Like the stylized CGI at the beginning, the like intro for it.
Oh, the animation.
Yeah, the animation at the beginning. I knew that they were going for a certain style and it just looked shitty to me.
I like the animation.
Whatever.
But, you know, I'll give you that. The visuals were very beautiful in Snow White.
Oh, yeah. So. Fairyland and the glass soldiers. And,
oh, yeah.
And
that was
all
pretty
that
cool.
was very, very cool and very pretty.
Fair enough.
All right. Let's hear your next point.
So my second point of Mirror Mirror being clearly superior is the superb cast that is in Mirror Mirror, including Julia Roberts, Lily Collins, Armie Hammer, who's all right. But Nathan Lane, I'm a big fan of. He's hilarious and very talented actor. And also Sean Bean playing the father.
Oh yeah, the reveal at the end.
And he's a great actor. But I have a hard time not thinking of Ned Stark when I see him. So it's pretty rough.
So to speak to that, I hate Julia Roberts.
You know what? I'm not a fan of hers either.
I just hate her with a passion.
I don't hate her, but I've seen her in interviews that makes me not like her more. I've liked her more in her like 80s comedies. I like her in those, but. Past the 80s, I start to like her less and less.
I just hate her in her giant horse-toothed face.
Oh, God.
I hate it. That's and a awful. Mouth that, like, stretches as wide as her shoulders. It just, I want to punch her. It's terrible. Every time I see her in anything, I just go, oh, I hate her.
I know this
I don't
is superficial,
know why.
But I think she, I, I'm saying this on an all around thing. I don't think she's the best of an actress. I think she usually plays the same person in every movie. This is actually the first kind of stretch I've ever seen her really do. People will say Erin Brockovich was a stretch, but I don't agree. I think it was still just her being herself.
Hey, she and had also, to act like she had boobs.
I think it'd be great if everyone admitted that she was a girl next door kind of beauty, which makes sense to me. She is. She's kind of interesting looking. But people are always like, oh, she's, you know, gorgeous. It's Julia Roberts, I'm like the paradigm of beauty. I'm like, no, she's unusual looking, like, which is okay. But admit that. Don't say she's like this, you know, paradigm of beauty. But I don't know.
You know what you are, Julia.
Well, that's what both movies did wrong. I think if they switched the queens, and then everything would be fine because you'd have the perfect, beautiful Snow White, which should be my other point, is that Snow White in this movie was, I think, superior to Snow White and the Huntsman. She's just beautiful. But I'll say that for my next point.
All right. So my next point is that Snow White and the Huntsman had much better action.
Mm.
Yeah, mirror, mirror, some midgets running around on stilts and shit. But Snow White and the Huntsman has full-on battle scenes, archers shooting people. They fight these glass warriors that are just nuts.
That was cool.
yeah. It's just, there's cool dwarf fighting in theirs, and the dwarves can actually, like, really, really fight and you know, and go for it. And it's just better action and really gripped me more in that way and was more what I was wanting, especially at a film that's very, very peace, you know, time-oriented as far as, you know, costumes and that sort of stuff. That's what I wanted. I wanted medieval battle.
They had a lot of that. It's like a much bigger budget.
Oh, absolutely a much bigger budget. Oh my gosh, yeah.
Yeah, you could tell. Just the sheer amount of extras and crap that they had in this. Yeah. And just the CG to, instead of using actual little people for the dwarves, they used, you know, full-size actors and squished them in CG afterwards. So that takes a lot of money just to do that. I mean, Lord of the Rings is the first people who did that.
Yeah, and the camera tricks involved and the stuff you have to set up extra to make it work. Yeah,
exactly. I think Bob Hoskins is one of the dwarves. Like, is that Bob? I thought he was dead. And I was
he plays the blind dwarf. Yeah.
Yeah, that was awesome. So, I mean, your movie sucks. Your movie's horrible.
Okay, so here's an add-on point. Snow White and the Huntsman had much better dwarves overall. Yeah,
it did.
They took all, like, actors that you know from something, good character actors, good, voices, you know, they get into the role and took them and shrunk them, as German said. And so, therefore, they were much better than, like, well, we have to find little people actors, go round them up.
Whether they're good actors or not, yeah.
Right, exactly. You have a much you have a much shallower pool to pick from.
Mm-hmm. No pun intended.
No intended, sorry.
Oh, it had Nick Frost was one of the dwarves too. I was like, wow, the guy from all the Simon Pegg movies.
Oh yeah, they had every single one of them, maybe with the exception of the red-haired one, is someone that you just know and recognize.
Well, the red-haired one, he is the son of a very famous fantasy actor, Brendan Gleeson. If you know who that is, he was in Braveheart. He was in like every. He played. Mad-Eye Moody in Harry Potter.
Oh, yeah, okay. That's
his father. And so he's got two sons who both are starting to do a lot of acting now too, because they're around our age, like in their, you know, mid to late 20s.
Okay.
So,
well, cool.
Pretty neat. Anyways, so my next point would be there were some great lines in this movie, but just kind of good little kickers that just really kind of add on to that thing where you don't take it too seriously. Like one of the lines that he says, the Snow White mirror mirror says, I can take care of myself. I don't need, I've read a lot of these fairy tale books growing up and they always had the prince saving the princess. Well, I want to finally make it so the princess saves herself. And then the prince responds to her and says, but no, this is tried and true storytelling. It's been focus grouped and it works. He's basically saying it's been focus grouped, which is completely anachronistic of that time. It's like, but it's, you know, it takes you out of it, makes it you chuckle a little bit and not take it too seriously. So I like that. Good little kicker lines. Also, the dwarves in this movie make a reference because they're all thieves in the mirror mirror as opposed to working in a mine. But they even say, oh, thieving, it beats working in the mines. So I appreciated that little snippy thing.
So now for I think this is basically my last major point as to why Snow White and the Huntsman is superior is that I think that, and you're going to argue against me because you already mentioned it, Snow White and the Huntsman had a better looking leading lady.
Oh, I just
Kristen Stewart, for all her grunting noises and blank stares, was nice to look at.
I thought they were both nice to look at. And I actually, that's something I wrote down, is that I think people give Kristen Stewart too hard of a time. I really do. I think in Twilight, she plays a vacuous character who has to look around and be wistful towards her, you know, wonderful vampire. But I liked her. If you saw Adventureland, she wasn't bad in that movie. And
oh, no, she was good. I'll give her that one.
Yeah, like, it was a fun movie. This movie, she still had some of the, you know, like you said, the grunting noises left over. but she still, like, I believe what she was doing. And, like, I believe she was into it. And if you look at any other beautiful actresses out there, there's plenty of ones that are a lot worse than she is. So I think give her a lot harder, too hard of a time. But I'm
I think Kristen Stewart is just nicer to look at for a film.
Well, then you're a Kristen Stewart fan here. That's great. All the Twihards will love you.
Good. Bring it on, Internet. Let's do this.
Perhaps what they call the Twilight fans, Twihards. I don't know. It's disturbing. Yeah,
they couldn't think of anything more embarrassing. So,
I thought that my Snow White was better, though. I love those big eyebrows. I'm a big fan of the big eyebrows.
Dude, those big eyebrows were the most expressive actor in the film.
Because I love Brooke Shields. I love Jennifer Connelly. I love her, Lee Collins. They both have these awesome eyebrows. But
no thanks for me.
My final point was, mine ends in a Bollywood musical.
That's true. Yours does end in a Bollywood. I'll give it to you.
Out of nowhere, in the credits, everyone starts singing and dancing to an actual Hindi type beat as well. And
dwarves
looking at the
dancing,
director,
running around camera and doing all, it's great.
Exactly, and then you even see like. Ned Stark dancing around a little bit, but the director Tarsem Singh is an Indian himself, so I'm guessing it's why he kind of put that in there as homage to his, you know, his own culture. But it just felt completely out of place. Singe? I've always heard Singh.
Oh.
And I've worked with people.
I'm probably pissed off Mr. Singe this afternoon when I gave him his computer back.
I mean, Singe is kind of a cooler name because it's like a, it's gonna singe something in the superpowers.
Yeah.
Jarwin
and I earlier were talking about how sometimes it really stinks to defend these films, because in reality, I think both Jarwin and I agree that both of these were pretty bad overall.
Well, you think that. My problem is I decided to defend Mirror Mirror before I'd seen either of these movies, of course. And I liked Snow White and the Huntsman. It was really good.
I was okay with it. I just felt like it didn't have any depth and nothing surprised me.
Yeah, I could agree with that.
Really? That being said, it's Snow White, so you can't be that surprising without breaking the story. God. So the one scene that just blew me away and just made no sense to me in Mirror Mirror.
Oh, Mirror Mirror. Sense to me,
is when Julia Roberts goes and walks into her magic mirror and is suddenly at a pathway to a yurt in the middle of the ocean.
Yeah, I don't know where they got that idea from. That was very strange.
And then she goes in there. I'm like, well, maybe that's where all of her tools are and all of her potion. And she goes in. It's just like a big blank room with a mirror on one wall.
It's like, why'd you bother going all the way over there?
Yeah, it's like, why can't that just be like in a room at the back of your castle? Like, why did that have to be at a yurt in the middle of the Indian Ocean?
And also horrible about Mirror Mirror is there's a lot of sexism and I don't know what you would call a prejudice against little people, but because in this movie they're not a race of dwarves. It's like they're just people that are, like in real life, are little people. Like they're midgets or they're, you know, what kind of thing. So the prince says all these derogatory terms towards the little people when he first meets them.
You said midgets.
I know, it's horrible.
That's so heightist.
Heightist, there you go. But he says these awful things to them, calling them children and stuff, and they're just. And in their world, they're not. It'd be funnier if they were just like a race of dwarves, like a different race of humans kind of thing. But and also like the sexism when then like Snow White disappears and the dwarves all say, did you check the kitchen? Did she make us breakfast before she left? Like, it's just like awful. And she is going to get her first kiss. He's like, oh, we got to do this right. So they put makeup on her. So she has her first kiss when she has to wear makeup for it. It's just like, I thought that was just kind of
a
gross.
Little person named Napoleon gets her all gussied up.
I know. Very weird.
So we can both agree Mirror Mirror was terrible.
It was pretty rough. I thought the first half of Mirror Mirror wasn't that bad. It was going in a good direction, and all of a sudden it got really cheesy and really crappy towards the end.
Someone grabbed the wheel and drove him off a cliff.
Something like that, yeah.
So that's been this week's Copycat Cinema.
Absolutely.
Join us next week when we will talk about two more films that tried to steal each other's thunder. And we'll bring it all straight to you so that you don't have to watch them.
And check on Facebook and Twitter for what those two movies will be. And you can watch them with us. And join along in the fun.
Absolutely. Okay, well, we're going to move on to some of our catchier and faster paced kind of games. So I'm going to bring back a bit in a game that we did on our very first show. That I call Dead Hands.
Dead Hands.
And the idea of the game is I'm going to name a character from the Jim Henson universe, and Jarman is going to have to tell me whether the original voice and puppeteer is still alive or not. So are you ready, Jarman? Are you ready to play some Dead Hands?
I'm ready.
All right. Ernie of Ernie and Bert.
Oh, Lord.
Okay, Bert.
I will say dead.
That's correct. That was Jim Henson.
Oh, yes.
And Bert was played by Frank Oz. And that they actually talk about how that was their dynamic in person as well, which is why the two characters work so well.
Gotcha. And by the way, I'm not applauding Jim Henson's death.
No.
I'm applauding that I got it right.
All right. Grover.
The alive.
Blue monster Grover. Yes, that is Frank Oz. That's absolutely Woo! Correct.
Frank Oz did so many voices.
He did a lot. All right. Mr. Snuffleupagus.
Oh, I remember him. He was mainly Sesame Street, right?
Okay, Big Bird. I believe all these ones I've chosen today are Sesame Street.
Well, that's true. He sounds like a smoker, so I'm going to go with dead.
That is correct.
All right.
Jerry Nelson originally did Snuffleupagus and then dropped out. Some people rumored due to the physical demands of the costume. He argued that he was working really hard on the Muppet Show at the time and just couldn't do it anymore. Mm. So the guy who people think of when they think of Snuffleupagus' voice is not the original voice, but the original voice is Jerry Nelson, and he is unfortunately deceased.
Oh, that's too bad.
Yep. All right.
Dead Hands.
Elmo.
Elmo, he is alive because he had a lot of controversy and he was over some pedophilia allegations.
Yep, that's Mr. Kevin Clash.
we're gonna laugh at him.
Wow, that makes my heart sad. Oh. Yep, there you go. Now he's had some trouble and something obviously is fishy and they've replaced him already. The voice of Elmo is not him currently.
Yeah. The old documentary on Netflix, I think it's still there.
Oh, Being Elmo, it's great.
Yeah. Right before those allegations came out, actually.
Yeah, even no matter how you feel about him, watch it. It's still just sort of crazy, the journey he took and the journey he got to take with Jim. So, I mean, just check it out. It's worth it.
Partially a history of the Muppets and Sesame Street, that kind of thing. So, not just about him.
All right, we're dead. This is our final one.
Okay, here's the moment.
So far, you've gotten three. You've done very well.
Yeah, better than last time, that's for sure.
Much better than last time. All right. Oscar the Grouch.
I'm going to go with alive.
That is correct. It is Carol Spinney, the same person that has been doing Big Bird since 1969.
I would not have guessed that being the same voice. That's a guy, right? You said Carol's a guy.
Yep. All right. Well, you got 4 out of 5. That is spectacular.
4 out of 5 ain't bad.
Not bad at all.
Nice. And we have plenty more of those, I'm guessing.
Some other time. There's only so many more I can do, but yeah, I can do a few more.
Fantastic.
There are only so many more before it's just like, yep, dead. Yep, dead.
Dead.
Yep,
dead. Dead. depressing. Dead. All right. Well, now it's time for a brand new segment where we challenge Steven in Name That Grossly Guttural, Nearly Overused, Slightly Ambiguous Roaring Sound.
Ooh, it's so catchy.
Absolutely. See, repeat after me. No, I'm not saying it again. But this is basically where we play the sounds of different monsters you might have heard in movies and television shows throughout the years. And Steven has to guess what monster that is or what movie it's from. I'll give him that.
Okay. Okay. Okay, I'll take those odds.
Yes.
So how many of these are there? So I know where I stand.
We'll do five, like the dead hands.
Okay, five. Deal.
Five for now. All right, so your first one
All right.
will be this. Now, what monster would that be?
Is it a zombie?
Close. Not quite.
I don't even know. What is that from? What is that?
Do you recognize, like, you've heard it somewhere before?
Maybe.
That would be the noise that the girl makes in The Exorcist.
Oh. Okay.
I kind of threw you off for the first one. That was a good one. You wouldn't think of that noise coming from a little girl's voice, exactly.
That's true. All right. I forgot to consider. I didn't even think about that in the realm of monsters, but now I got it in my head.
It's certainly creeper. It's creepy, rather.
Okay. Okay.
All right. So here's something a little more straightforward.
Is that Gojira?
Gojira. Yes.
Gojira.
And more specifically, the 2000, whatever, Godzilla.
Yeah.
That one
was so good. Everyone hates it. I don't know why. It's got Frank Azari in it. It's so good.
And
come on.
What's his face? The guy
Broderick.
Matthew Broderick. I mean, he's so likable. I mean, come on.
Matthew Broderick, Frank Azaria, some blonde lady who I'm not sure if she's still acting or not. It's all good. Hank Azaria.
I've noticed you have a trend with actors and actresses
you typically get
their first name or their last name wrong.
I get that from my mom.
Okay.
She's like, oh, I love Unusual Suspects. I love that Kevin Speck.
He's a great one, that Kevin Speck. All right, so you got one right so far.
All right.
Out of five. So.
All right.
Here we go. Here's the next one.
Is that all I get?
We'll play it one more time.
All right. I'll just say zombie because I have nothing else. That's.
I was being a little specific. It's Frankenstein.
Which Frankenstein?
Like the original.
The Boris Karloff?
Yeah.
Okay.
Basically just a grunt. So that's pretty hard.
It could have just been you making that noise and I wouldn't know.
That's true. All right, so here is the next one. This one's, I'll give you a little hint before we start. Think past year 2000. Here we go. Well, that was some people talking, but did you hear the noise?
Play it again.
I'll play some more.
Is it maybe the kaiju from that movie with the big robot fighters?
Oh, the
Pacific Rim?
Nope, not that, but I'll give you another guess. Play some more. Any guesses?
After 2000. No, I got nothing. Kaiju was my best guess.
They all start to sound kind of similar after a while, but it's the Cloverfield monster.
Oh. Damn. All right.
All right.
I love Cloverfield, too. Such a good movie.
It was. I liked that movie. It gave me a headache. I will admit it gave me a headache.
Movies. That movie I was telling you about earlier, Earth to Echo, that's all like first person shaky cam.
Like found footage movie?
Yeah, that sort of idea.
Okay. Well, here's your last one.
All right. So far, I've gotten what? One?
Gotten one out of four so far.
Not good.
Last
one. Not
good
at math, but I know that's not good. Man, that roar went on for a long time.
It did.
Can I hear it one more time?
Yep.
Is it King Kong?
You got it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Damn right. Give me some sort of victory noise.
Wait, wait. Yay! That's very unenthusiastic.
That's all I ever wanted.
All right. Well, that was good.
I'll take 2 out of 5 for a first try.
Yeah, that's not bad. Now, some of those are pretty hard, especially the Frankenstein one. I didn't realize how hard that was, but you're right. It is pretty generic.
How was I supposed to get that? I'm just glad I got King Kong.
Yeah, that was good. That was the 2005 King Kong. Okay. The Jack Black one or whatever. So yeah, all right. Good job.
So good games. Good games. You won, I lost, whatever. Let's not talk about it.
And we got a little bit more time left, so we were going to talk about some trailers that we saw the past couple of weeks for some upcoming, you know, sci-fi fantasy movies coming out.
Because if there's one thing I love, it's scrutinizing films when you still don't really know anything about them.
Yeah, because what you want to do in life is judge something before you know anything about it.
That way, when it does show up, you don't have to make any judgments then. You've already made them.
And then you can keep those judgments no matter what you see later on.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, that's the way to go throughout life, usually.
Mm-hmm. Republicans. Sorry.
Oh.
This is not a political show, but God, it was too good.
All right, so our first one, Steven.
Mm-hmm. It's Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, which it has been met with mixed reviews. People aren't sure to be excited for it or to, you know,
shoot
sadly
themselves,
bury their childhood in a shallow grave. But I personally am very excited for this. I love a gritty relaunch. I don't hate Michael Bay the way everyone else seems to. I like explosions and loud noises.
I can appreciate that.
And slow motion. I love slow motion.
And I'm also of the mind that I saw this somewhere and it really clicked with me. Someone wrote this somewhere. I'm sure it's been written many times by now. But people who say that, oh, this movie's going to ruin my childhood. No, it's not. Those TV shows are still available in the form that they were originally in. And if you want, why would you want someone to carbon copy exactly what you saw in your childhood? You don't.
Yeah.
You can have this movie come out and you can hate it. And that's okay because you still have those ones from your childhood. I watched Teenage Mutant Turtles 2 probably 1,000 times. I love that by the VHS cassette.
The Secret of the Ooze.
It was great. And nothing.
And they showed
TGRI
in the preview.
They sure did.
For this one. That was very exciting.
But nothing could change what happened in your childhood.
So what do you think about Shredder being a white guy?
I don't understand it. Why they couldn't just make it a Japanese guy and
yeah, like a Japanese businessman or something like that.
Yeah, why not?
Like everyone, the same concept.
That's one thing I just don't get. Maybe the movie will explain that. Maybe there will actually be someone who was Japanese and then he just kind of took his identity or something. We don't know. But
all right, so I'll give you 5 bonus points if you can tell me what the name of Splinter's master was in the original Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie.
Oh God, I don't know. I don't know.
Nothing. Orokusaki.
Well, that's Shredder, yeah.
I thought with that... Damn it. Then I've been living a lie for years.
That's funny because I was just looking that up. I was seeing what the Japanese name of Shredder was, and it was Orokusaki. And that was the story. You're right, though. That was the story originally that he was the trainer of Shredder, and then he became... Or he was like Shredder... He was like, or sometimes they say he's a mouse or a rat that was in Shredder's like dojo or something.
Yeah,
and
then
but I don't know. But it's also a connection to our show today. The head dwarf in Mirror Mirror is playing Splinter.
Splinter.
Yeah.
And he's a little person actor who's been working for a very long time and been in a lot of films. And so, Frank, I'm excited to see him in it.
Yeah, he was in Seinfeld.
What do you think about sort of the turtle redesign?
It's kind of creepy, as some people have mentioned. And also, there's a great fan redesign where someone CGI'd the old-fashioned nose.
Oh, yeah, the nose. The big, I love the sort of rounder nose on it.
So go find that, folks.
I think it's fine, you know.
Yeah, I think it's fine.
I think people are just getting bent out of shape over nothing. Their nose isn't the way I wanted to see it. Shut up.
And you know what? If this movie is crap and you hate it, they'll make a new one in 15 years.
You know what? Michael Bay is going to direct that one, too, and it's going to be in 4D. There's actually going to be explosions in the theater by that point. So,
well, that's the funny part is I didn't know this until like probably a few years ago, but he doesn't really direct anything. He just produces it. But somehow he produces the explosions no matter what. No matter who's directing it, he still produces the explosions.
So really, he's a very, very rich pyromaniac.
Apparently.
Okay.
Yeah, the guy who did Wrath of the Titans, Battle for Los Angeles, he's the guy who's directing it.
Okay. Well, I liked Battlefield LA. I liked that.
Yeah, it was cheesy, but it was cheesy good time.
Yeah. There was at one point where he was touching the little boy a little too much, but that was about it.
Oh, I don't remember that.
It was weird. No, because the little kid, his father dies, and he pulls him over, and he like rubs his hands kind of over his shoulders and down his body, and you're like, God, what is he doing?
That's creepy.
Why is he comforting that child so sexually? He's just not lost good. His father, Lord.
Yeah, that's a little
so frightening. I'm looking forward to TMNT.
Sorry.
I'm looking forward to TMNT. I'm so excited for it. I'm going to go see it, of course. I'll probably go see it opening weekend.
Absolutely.
And then it'll fall short of everything, but I love Transformers too, so I'll probably love it.
I haven't seen past Transformers 1, I think. I need to do that at some point.
2 is worth it for some of the visual effects. 3, you gotta love it.
They're making the new one with Mark Wahlberg as well.
Yeah, and Dinobots.
Yeah, apparently. Which were separate toys when we were kids.
They were.
All right, the next preview we were watching from this past week was The Signal. Which, if you've seen it by now, if you haven't seen it, you should, because it's really weird. Don't expect to understand what's happening, because we don't.
Legit.
The description it gives on IMDb is, a group of college students are lured to the middle of the desert by a hacker. Which, I didn't see any of that in the preview.
Yeah, not a bit.
But it's got Lawrence Fishburne, and he's pretty much the only recognizable face in the movie, but it's getting a lot of talk about from critics, like, think it's going to be something interesting to watch for.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I don't understand. I've watched the trailer 3 times now, and I'm no closer to understanding what it's about. What I'm interested to understand is, at one point, they show a hand down by someone's side, and it has, like, an armored glove on, like a medieval-style armored.
I did see that. And there's, like...
I want to know what that's about. That's what.
Yeah, and there's, like, allusions to, like, aliens, kind of. Like, you feel like it's something about aliens, but you're not sure.
Yeah, or maybe, like, futuristic tech or something. We don't know. There'll be a second trailer at some point, and maybe we'll get a more vague idea of what it's actually about.
But yeah, definitely watch it out there, audience.
Yeah, Lawrence Fishburne, The Signal. The last film that we went ahead and are going to do a quick review on is Hercules with Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Yeah.
If you're some man, what the rock is cooking?
Speaking of WWF.
Who this year is the most money-making man in Hollywood.
Really?
More money than any other male actor in Hollywood this year.
What has he done this year?
He did a couple big
things. Oh, the Fast and the Furious. And
Fast and Furious, I'm
Pain
sure he made
Gain.
A crazy amount of money on.
G.I. Joe.
Yep.
Wow. He did a lot of shit this past year. But, yeah. That other Hercules just disappeared, the one that came out not too long ago. Eventually, we'll have to do a copycat cinema with those two.
Just gone. Doesn't matter. Yeah.
We'll watch that one and this one when they come out on
okay, deal. That,
illegal
that's
downloads.
Our deal to you, audience. I like the look of the trailer because I'm a big Greek and Roman mythology buff, and it looks like they're staying pretty close to his feats.
Yeah, like the lion and
the lion and the great
the Hydra.
Boar, the Hydra. It doesn't look like it's being cheesily overdone.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't think it's going to be like another Scorpion King or anything like that. And I'm excited to see a Hercules that maybe I can, like, you know, connect with and not just some, like, you know, beastly, ungodly man who I have.
And the cool thing, too, I like is that the other Hercules that came out, Hercules 3D or whatever the hell it was, it had some, like, young, hunky, tiny guy. But this time it has The Rock who went nuts with his, like, he got completely jacked, like Schwarzenegger Conan style for this part, and hopefully they don't have him talk very much because he's not an Academy Award winning actor, he's never going to be, so just make him beat the crap out of things and be like awesome and we'll enjoy it. It'll be a fun romp, you know. Don't make it try to be more than it is, and then we'll be happy.
Give that man a sword and let him beat people for 2 hours
and we'll be happy. I mean, I miss those movies. We have to have so much depth now. We don't have to have depth all the time. Not everything has to be gritty. Just make it awesome.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I watched this movie.
Funny connection between two of the movies we were talking about. In The Signal,
mm-hmm.
The female lead that they keep showing is Olivia Cooke.
Yes.
Who's in a show, Bates Motel.
Yes.
Which, have you seen it?
Not yet, no.
great. Watch Bates Motel. Mm-hmm. Who then the girl who plays the popular girl in that, whose name is Nikola something.
Tesla?
Yeah, Nikola Tesla. No, Nikola Peltz. There we go. She plays like the blonde sunny girl. She is playing Mark Wahlberg's daughter in Transformers 4.
That's quite the amount of connections there.
I know. It's crazy. I'm excited. They're both great young actresses. I'm excited to see both their careers go for it.
Very cool. A lot of good actors in the Hercules movie, too. Joseph Fiennes.
Yeah.
John Hurt. Ian McShane, who is also a dwarf in
Snow White and the Huntsman.
That's right. It's another connection
the Rock
there.
Is in there doing something.
Mm-hmm. So there you go.
Yeah. So movies to look forward to. Maybe.
Perhaps we'll have some more. We'll have some more next week, perhaps.
Yeah. There's always new trailers to watch.
But I think that about does it for this episode of Play on Nerds.
Thanks for joining us. If you joined us, if you made it this far, congratulations. You're our friend now.
And friend us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.
Twitter, tweet at us, email us. And I know that we threw out a lot of ridiculous email addresses over the course of this
but
show.
But you can use them all.
Do the like use any of them. It doesn't matter. We'll get the email and respond or read it on. I would love to read something someone wrote our Play on Nerds email address on our show.
Oh yeah. If you email us or message us on Facebook in this, especially in the early stages of this podcast, we're gonna read your message on the air, as it were.
Because honestly, what else do we have to do?
Come we'll love on. To talk to you.
We'll join us again next week. Thanks again for listening. And have a good afternoon, evening, and night, Internet.
Good afternoon, good evening, and good night. See you later, folks.
Bye.